Hey, Koopalings. It's the Pure Nintendo KoopaCast. We're back with a special episode as we discuss some of the highlights from the most recent Nintendo Direct. About 40 minutes worth of game announcements, and we have a lot to talk about. So who's here tonight? We have Justin.
Hey, everyone.
And we have Katie.
Hello.
And, of course, I'm Trev. All right, guys, so kick things off with how the Direct kicked off. Pikmin 4. This was a game I predicted, Justin, I thought would be delayed, and it looks like I'm going to be wrong. But that's a good thing to be wrong about.
Exactly.
Right.
I am really excited about Pikmin 4. I was surprised it's coming out so soon. Like, I'm like, they said 2023. I was like, well, maybe they still have quite a bit of year left, but for it to come out, basically halfway through the year, kind of mid-July, that's pretty impressive. So, looks like there's some fun features with it, and they showed off the ice Pikmin. I'm hoping there's some other new Pikmin as well. Like the dog is interesting. It's different from some of the stuff I guess they've done with just like the new Pikmin types, but I am excited to see what else they have to show and if there's going to be some co-op. They did show, like, I thought it was three or four captains at one point, but they didn't confirm co-op or multiplayer or anything like that. But
yeah, they didn't show any multiplayer gameplay.
Yeah, so maybe they're holding that for maybe another trailer before launch or something, but.
Maybe, yeah. I kind of hope there is, because Pikmin 3 was pretty cool with, co-op. But
yeah.
I'm hoping the dog is not the Poochie of the Pikmin universe. I'm hoping
that's a good impression. That's right.
Yeah.
You guys played all the Pikmin games already?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's only been a few, I guess. I say all of them. There's been some re-releases, yeah. But
we even played. I remember playing Hey Pikmin. Was that a 3DS one?
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting.
Yeah.
Game. Kind of an offshoot, but.
No, it's funny. My wife beat that game, and I don't think I ever played more than the demo.
Oh man.
Which is bizarre, because my wife is not a big handheld gamer. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I need to check that out before July. I can. Yeah, I played every Pikmin game, even the mobile app.
Oh, yeah, Pikmin Bloom.
Yeah, oh, man. So glad this Direct didn't talk about that, because I feel like that got a lot of publicity last time.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want the game. I want the real game.
Yes.
So, yeah, July. That'll be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up quick.
Yeah. I'm looking over the list here. I had... Kirk, unfortunately, can't be with us, but I left Tron Identity up on his behalf. And we were talking about this just before we started recording. Looks like it's going to be a visual novel.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I did like the art style they're going with. It seems like they're kind of adopting the same art style they had from Tron Legacy, the movie. And there was that 3D animated show.
Oh yeah.
I forget what that was called. Did you watch that, Trev? But that came out, I don't know, that's been 5 to 10 years ago or something like that. Tron Uprising.
No, I've just seen the original movie and the new one. Or not new. It was new at the time. 2010 maybe.
Yeah. I think it was Tron Uprising, something like that. Anyways, but it kind of adopted a similar style to Tron Uprising. It adopted a similar style to Tron Legacy, and it's got a fun, look and feel to it. The visual novel, I think it'll be, pretty engaging. I haven't played a whole lot of those types of games, but I definitely like the Tron universe. So
yeah, I really like the Tron universe, the whole aesthetic and everything. So I'm excited to see a whole storyline in that universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the developer, I've got a few of his games on Twitch. He did the circular visual novel, Subsurface Circular, Quarantine Circular. Mm. Yeah, if anyone listening wants to get a feel for maybe what the game will be like, they go on sale for 50% off often. Not that they're not worth full price. I'm not trying to hose the developers, but just keeping our listeners, who might be on a budget in mind. But yeah, one to keep an eye on. Tron Identity coming out later this year. I know Justin, you were talking a little bit about Deca Police.
Yeah, this one is very interesting. What first piqued my interest with it was that it's a level 5 game. And if you guys are familiar with level 5, they've done games like the Professor Layton series, the Yo-Kai Watch series, the Ace Attorney,
Yeah, this
the
journey is
Phoenix Wright
Phoenix
games.
Wright.
So, they've got a fairly, deep catalog of IP out there. But I remember like level 5 has kind of notably been absent for a long time. They've been doing a lot of mobile stuff, I think, Trev, like over the last, 5, 6, 7 years or something. Like I think they were porting some of the Layton games to mobile devices, tablets, things like that. But they kind of went in, kind of all out on mobile games. So it is not that mobile games don't have their place and that sort of thing, but it just felt like level 5 has been kind of just notably absent on not just consoles but Nintendo consoles, right? They were so involved on the DS, right? And even the 3DS, like level 5 was kind of a mainstay company for the DS and 3DS eras. So and I know, I think some of our predictions over the last few years, Trev, have involved like, oh, it'd be great if there was some more ports of, we've been mentioned a lot of level 5 franchises, like, oh, let's have Layton games come to the Switch, and all these again just really gems on the DS and 3DS coming over to the Switch. So yeah, Deca Police, it obviously looks like a whole new IP. It's not exclusive to the Switch. I think it's coming out to on PS4 and PS5. And the gameplay looked kind of interesting. I don't know if it's kind of turn-based combat. It looks like you're playing as detectives. But I had one thing that kind of clued me into it being a level 5 game was the pointing.
Yeah, he did do the Phoenix Wright
Did you
pointing.
notice that, Trev? There was the main character in Deca Police was like doing
Yes.
the very dramatic pointing that Phoenix Wright and
Their
even Layton
signature
is
style.
known for. I feel like that's three franchises now where they're doing the point. But anyways, it did look interesting. It's got a stylized art style, which I think will show well on the Switch. Gameplay again, level 5 does pretty good with gameplay. Yo-Kai Watch had some really interesting gameplay. Layton games are fantastic. Phoenix Wright, so I have confidence that they're going to make a pretty quality game. So I'm interested, mostly in the fact that it's a level 5 game, and we'll see if the gameplay and that sort of thing lines up as it comes out. But what do you think, Trev?
Yeah, it's a game I want to see more of. One of the early announcements that kind of caught my eye is, well, I guess because I didn't recognize it. Like a lot of the early announcements were like updates, DLC or ports. This is when I'm like, wait, I don't recognize this. So, yeah, I definitely it's one to keep an eye on. I'm not wish listing it necessarily, but it's on my radar. And yeah, with all the talk about Layton, we may talk about Professor Layton later in this episode. So just have to stay tuned. But yeah, before then, I wanted to talk just briefly about Disney Illusion Island, because that's a game that was announced last year, and then I feel like we went a long time without getting any news on that. And then they showed some footage, and I gotta say, it's my least excited game that I'm still excited for. If that makes sense, because The gameplay looks fun. It kind of reminds me of Rayman.
Yes.
I could see some of those nods to like Land of Illusion, World of Illusion, but no, I'm not digging the art style. It just looks a little bland. I don't know. What did you guys think of that one?
Yeah, I felt like the platforming was very much Rayman, for sure. I did like that there was all these like you could help other your other players out, like giving them a rope or helping them out with a jump. So I think it'll be really nice for, you know, people who are learning platforming, so, or like, you know, playing like with kids that are a bit younger. You can help them out on the more difficult platforming parts. So that's kind of nice and accessible, but also probably means it's not going to be the most challenging, probably, of platformers.
I agree. Like, I think it's probably gonna have some fun to it, but is yeah, the challenge gonna scale up? Is it gonna be something for everybody? Is it gonna be kind of a more simplified platformer? But I do like the art style is interesting. It's it's kind of clean. Some of the animation for the characters is a little just interesting. Like, I don't know if the platform it, also the characters seem like they move a little slowly as you're going around. So I don't know how fluid the gameplay will be, but I don't know, Trev, if you played Mickey Mousecapades on the original Nintendo.
I did not. Well, I didn't own it. Let's say
Okay.
that. I think I did play it, but I didn't own it.
That has some nostalgia for me, and it was a fun game in its own right. So it had some interesting little boss battles and platforming and things. So I'm always, I'm kind of up for, anything kind of Mickey related. I remember like Epic Mickey was kind of interesting. So
Yeah,
I'm
that
up
makes
for any of
sense.
that type of stuff. So we'll see. I think what you said, like, it's my most excited, least excited game. something that's interesting, but may not necessarily pick up right away. The fun thing I was seeing was I think Nintendo might actually be publishing it. So that's going to be interesting. So either Nintendo has a lot of faith in it, or they worked something out with Disney to do that. But yeah, basically Nintendo is the one that's producing the physical copies for it. But anyways,
Interesting. Yeah. It looks like $39.99 is the price. So a little bit of a discount, which maybe speaks to the quantity of it. I don't know.
If it's a shorter game, which I don't mind shorter games, but I think
Oh, yeah.
there's a lot of opportunity for more $40 games. Like, you remember Captain Toad and some of those? Like, I love
Oh, yeah.
Captain Toad's fantastic. I love more of those types of games. So like, we don't always need 60, $70, premium titles. So having some of those $40 ones is good.
Yeah, and I'm missing having platformer game, having a
Yeah.
platformer game.
Oh yeah.
We may be talking about a $70 title here in the
I
afterlife,
know.
so
We're
you just have to stay tuned. Yeah, speaking of games that shorter games versus longer games, Etrion Odyssey Origins Collection there. Now that could be a game that stays in your Switch for a long time. Well, I can't even say stays in your Switch because I think it's digital only, but this was probably my biggest surprise of the direct just because I really thought these games kind of tied to the dual screen design of the DS and 3DS. I don't know if, how much experience you guys have with the series, but I'm pretty excited about this one.
I haven't played them myself. I've played some games like them, that kind of dungeon crawling, even that kind of corridor perspective. I played the Trev, did you play the it's like Dra Puzzles and Dragons, right, or something like that? There was a series that Nintendo
No, I'm aware of it, but I have not
Yeah,
played it.
that one's sort of similar in the sense it's some dungeon crawling and it's kind of labyrinthian type of thing. But those can be really fun. I like seems like it's faithfully reproducing a lot of the art style from the DS games. And like you said, kind of surprised that something from the DS is jumping to the Switch like this, but it seems kind of successfully from what they showed off so far. I'm hoping maybe it could be used as a template for maybe what other developers could do with their DS and 3DS libraries, right, to bring over to the Switch. Because again, there's such potential. Like again, with a new Professor Layton and that sort of thing, like why not port, get a lot of the other Layton games onto the Switch? The Switch has such a install base out there, and people need to check it out. But
I was looking at the listing for the collection, which granted is three full games, but the collection $79.99.
Oh,
And as far as I know, I think it's digital. Well, that's a lot.
yeah, so
Digital.
$80, so that's yeah, 20 some
They did
dollars
say they're going to
print.
release them individually.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I did hear that. That's good. I do like when, sometimes the collections, it kind of locks you into buying all of them, right? And it's like, well, maybe I want to buy them one at a time or try them, do kind of a la carte. But so that's cool. I wish more of them would do that. Like, hey, here's a bundle, but you can totally get all these separately. I think they did that with no, maybe Bayonetta was just all separate launches, but.
I think I'll probably buy the first one and just make sure I like the transition to the Switch. But I am excited. They said there's going to be like some easier modes because these games are really old school and a bit of a time sink, at least for me. And it could just be I'm a bad player, but yeah, I'm totally happy with easy mode. So bring it on.
I like it.
At least on the 3DS, I know. It's hard to compare eShops, but these games do tend to go on sale, so I'm hoping $79.99, we'll have a pretty good sale. Maybe like I don't know when this is coming out, but maybe around like the holidays, Black Friday or something.
Definitely.
All right. Advance Wars. We got some more news on that, Justin.
Yeah, so I was excited to see that. For those that don't know, it has been kind of in limbo, right? I think it was maybe supposed to come out around the same time last year, right? Wasn't it like March or April, was its original date last year?
Yeah, delayed.
And I think with the war going on over there, I think that really, Nintendo was like, well, let's kind of hold off on this. I think, justifiably so. But it is nice to see that, coming out finally. I did love the Advance Wars games are fantastic. I'm probably a bit more excited about some of the next sequels after the first two games. Like some of the other DS games, I think Dual Strike, and there was another one after that I'm really excited about. So I'm hoping that maybe this could just give a bigger audience to the Advance Wars series, and Nintendo, keeps bringing back some of those again from the DS and so on. So Advance Wars, fantastic. For people that haven't played it, very similar to Fire Emblem. So turn-based strategy games, but. A lot of just really fun. You can create your own maps. You can play online together. You can, share the maps online. It looks really cool. And I think WayForward was doing all of the artwork for the game, for all of the commanding officers and the intro cinematics and things. So it's got almost some Shantae flair to it, Trev. At least some of those cinematics. So I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, my wife was watching the footage and she's like, wow, this looks cartoony for a war game.
And that's not really indicative of the gameplay necessarily. It's very like, this is just intro cinematic, and then you're looking at a top-down map and moving units around, but it's fun.
Yeah. April 21st is just a little over 2 months away when we're
Yeah.
recording this, so be here before we know it. Well, I say that it's already been delayed a year, but now it'll be here before we know it.
Yep.
Oh boy. Has everyone already downloaded the Game Boy updates for Switch Online?
Yes.
Yes, we
yes, we
have.
did. We did. Very excited.
We hopped on it pretty much right after the direct, and Jen's like, "I want to play Kirby on Game Boy, and then I want to play Tetris on Game Boy, and then we ended up starting Mario 3, even though we have a million copies of that game, but we never had the e-reader level version, so I'm looking forward to that."
Yeah, that was a really fun surprise that some of the e-reader content's going to be on there. And I kind of liked even the art style of that Mario Brothers 3, port or remake on the Game Boy Advance. It reminds me some of the Super Mario All-Stars look, Trev, when you play those on the Super Nintendo, it had a little bit of refreshed art, palette, color palette and things. And so it's exciting to see that, see the light of day a little bit more. Minish Cap,
Oh yeah.
very excited. Katie's a big fan
How
of
do you,
Minish
Katie,
Cap.
when I saw that? I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yay, now I can play it whenever.
Yeah. Minish Cap is fantastic. More people need to play that one. That's such a good Zelda game. Yeah, I think Super Mario Land 2 and the 6 golden coins,
Oh yeah.
Trev, that we were talking
Yes,
about
we just talked about that.
on a recent Koopa cast, and I was like, hey, we can play that on Switch. So I don't recall beating it, but I recall playing it quite a bit, so might have to revisit that. The one thing that I thought was notably absent from the lineup that was just really a juggernaut on the Game Boy were the Pokemon games, Trev.
Oh yeah.
This may be a little bit of a prediction too, but Pokemon Day is coming up at the end of this month. I wouldn't be surprised if they're saving that announce some announcements for that could potentially be some of the Pokemon games coming to the Switch, Game Boy, Switch Online service, and that would be fantastic if it had like Pokemon Home integration where you could literally play the original Pokemon games, catch Pokemon in those, and transfer them to Pokemon Home, or move them all the way over to the new Pokemon games. Like that would just be such a mind-blowing moment of like old meets new and still being compatible. Like that would just be amazing. So hopefully that Nintendo's listening. So
Yeah, my only hesitation on that. I mean, I would love it because then I feel like, hey, I would have stuff to talk about when we talk about Pokemon. But when they did those in the 3DS eShop, they were like, most of the Game Boy games on like the 3DS VC, they were like $5 games. The Pokemon games were $10. They were more. So, and they sold like hotcakes. They were always like top 10. So I wonder, would they want to leave the money on the table? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'd like to see them. And yeah, I already got a list of like games in my head that I'm like, oh, this would be great on the Switch. So any you're looking forward to, Katie?
Coming on the Game Boy or Game Boy
Oh.
Advance.
Yeah, actually, they're gonna have Metroid 2, Samus Returns, and I think Metroid Fusion, I think, was on there. So I haven't played any of the Metroid Game Boy games, so that'll be fun to go back and revisit while waiting for. Although right now I'm playing the Prime, so I don't know. Maybe I'll be too caught up in that.
We might be talking about that later in the episode, so just
Hint, hint, hint.
hint, hint, wink, wink.
Oh. Actually, it might not be that later. I'm looking at my list. Yeah, next on the list, Metroid Prime Remaster, and I take it You're not holding out for the physical copy. You already downloaded it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we already downloaded it. You know me well, Trev. I don't know how many times have I talked about Metroid Prime before, Trev. That's,
first thing I thought when I heard that announcement, I'm like, oh man. I'm like.
Yeah, that. But yeah, for those that don't know, this is probably my favorite or close to favorite game of all time. It's just amazing. And it's really incredible what they've done visually with it. Like, it's, you know, sometimes you'll hear the term remaster versus remake. And in this case, this feels like a full remake almost. Like, there's a lot of added detail with the character models and the environment that goes beyond just a simple, like, hey, you know, sometimes in games, like if it's just like Twilight Princess HD, it looks great, but it really is like, you know, maybe some higher resolution textures, but most of the geometry is basically the same. You know, they didn't add much graphical detail, where this is like, man, they have added a ton of extra detail to it. That first time you get down to the planet and the rain is, you know, coming down on Samus's visor, in this remaster, the water is actually trickling down her arm cannon, you know, and so it's got those, you know, additional effects that really just add to the immersion of the game already. But very, very fun. I'm excited. I've always wanted to share the Metroid Prime series with Katie, so it's been fun to, we've been playing through that last night. So what did you think, Trev? Have you checked it out? You waiting for the physical, or
I am waiting for the physical copy. Nice. Yeah, I am. You know, well, I have a hard time spending, you know, full price for digital games anyway, but
yeah,
in this case, like I have you know, Dread physical, and I have Samus Returns, and all the more recent Metroids I have physical, so I'm like, I don't want to my collection and then have one tied to the system, so I don't know. It's a weird collector thing, I guess, but
that makes sense. Like that's and that's going to be such a great piece to have in the collection, man. Metroid Prime remastered. I almost was like doubting that this day would ever come, you know. Like, I figured, I was like, man, before Metroid Prime 4 comes out, these games have got to come out, you know. People have got to play these first three games, they're so good. I'm just over the moon with it. So
I saw on a Twitter Harrison, who used to yeah, write for us, he's like I'm getting it physical, but do I end up splurging and getting digital too, or I'll have to check and see what he ended up doing. But
yeah, He should splurge, get it both. Support the effort, you know. And you know, Nintendo sees good sales from this to be like, all right, we need to remaster 2 and 3 ASAP. Let's go, you know. So,
and knowing Nintendo, they'll remaster a Federation Force or
yeah. Don't even joke about that. They'll do it.
Yeah, I'm curious. Since you've been hands on, like, did you use the original control style, or did you try the new setup, or have you like alternated?
Honestly, we didn't change anything with it, so we've been using the default,
yeah, the default
whatever controls. Is the default on the game. Okay. But and I think the default is the dual analog, so it is using the left stick to move around, right stick for aiming, which is just, you know, I am really used to that now, so it's pretty natural. They do still have the lock on, which is fantastic. Like, that game was you know, really perfected that kind of lock on, even like strafing around the enemies. You know, it almost feels like a Zelda game sometimes, where, yeah, you can kind of, you know, freeform do combat if you don't want to lock on doing the Z targeting, but having that lock on is really, really nice for kind of dodging left to right and things. So yeah, at least right now, using the whatever the default control scheme is.
Fairly intuitive.
I'm excited because I feel like it's, I only got to wait a little bit at least. It's not like they did digital and then, oh, you can get physical in 3 months.
Yeah.
Right.
It's only a few weeks. So. Yeah, it's like even like 2 weeks, right? Like less than 2 weeks. It said February 22. So that's basically,
Something like that.
Yeah, it's basically 2 weeks. So because it was February 8, was the direct. So, yeah, two more
weeks.
So, that's a pretty fast turnaround, even for the physical. So,
to make sure I get all my review games done in the next 2 weeks.
Clear some space for some Metroid Prime. It's not a particularly long game. Have you played it before, Trev? Or
have? Yeah. I have it on GameCube, but it's one of those. Even though I love the game, it's one of those I just haven't revisited much. I had Echoes too, Metroid Prime 2.
Metroid Prime 2 is
I like
great.
The first one more because the second one I found pretty hard.
Yes, yeah, I would agree. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's gonna feel like almost like a new game in some ways because it's been so long since I've played it.
Yeah.
Could probably talk about Metroid Prime for the rest of the episode, but we do have a few more games.
Yeah, yep.
Another game caught me by surprise. A Fantasy Life, The Girl Who Steals Time.
Yeah.
Have you guys played Fantasy Life on 3DS, and what did you think of this announcement?
I have. Katie hasn't, but I was telling her a little bit about it, and I was like, I think you'd be interested in it. It's I kind of described it, Trev, as like Animal Crossing mixed with Zelda, or you know, it's free form combat, but it's RPG fantasy. You going out on quests and combat. You've got some of that type of stuff in addition to all of the life sim stuff that Animal Crossing would have. But is that apt description? What would you describe it as?
I think so. I think this one looks like it's even more. Animal Crossing, like in terms of crafting the island, like feel like on the 3DS maybe it was more the adventuring type of stuff, where this looked like it was a lot of that sort of building, you know, like that tool they put in the Animal Crossing update where you can like actually terraform the island. I think it can be a time sink because Fantasy Life even on EDS was kind of a time sink if you wanted to beat it with like every profession and then delve into the DLC and all that stuff. So like I never did pick this game up kind of in the twilight of the 3DS life. So I feel like I have to beat it before this game comes out. But
yeah,
I was surprised. It's nice. I'm glad to see some of these games that were, you know, people can complain like, oh, they're not new games, they're just like updates, but this, first of all, this is a new game. This isn't a remake of the original.
It is brand new.
Even if it was, I'm just happy to see these games not be tied to old hardware. You know, come on the Switch, where it's the second best selling Nintendo machine of all time, and people experience it.
And this is also a level 5 developer, right?
Yeah, so this is their second game that they've shown off in this direct. Maybe another one gets shown. We'll be talking about that soon, maybe. But yeah, level 5 was coming out big in this. They're wanting to start 2023 off saying, "Hey, we're back. We're back with a Nintendo console." So,
and I don't recall, not that there were rumors of like a direct, because like, oh, it's, you know, we're due for a direct, you know, everyone thought there's gonna be one, but I don't recall any like kind of leaks being like, hey, level 5's gonna wow us. Not that I look for leaks, but it's nice when games come out of the blue and surprise you.
That's I think one of Nintendo's mottos is, you know, surprise and delight, right? That I think they're always really excited when they can truly keep some surprises, some secrets, you know. And there was a lot, man. A lot of the announcements yesterday, you know, really did come out of left field. A lot of these, you know, it was some things were expected. You know, Pikmin 4 we knew about. We were kind of expecting Zelda, but you know, some of these were just, man, very cool.
Yeah. So no exact release date for Fantasy Life 2023, but sure to be a time sink when it does come out. And hey, it's called The Girl Who Steals Time, so it's aptly named.
Not false advertising.
So we're going to be talking about more Level 5 here. next on my list is I know a game I think we're all excited about.
Oh, yes.
Fisher Layton in the New World of Steam.
Yay!
Yeah, let's discuss.
Well, Katie, this you were very excited about. You were maybe more excited about than I was when the Prime remaster was announced. Katie's like, what?
Well, funny thing, too, is that we kept seeing these level 5 games coming. And we're like, oh, level 5's getting back in the game. We're like, it'd be great to see, you know, Professor Layton again. And then, bam, Professor Layton and I think
she jumped out of
out of my seat and was like, ah!
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm super excited. I love Professor Layton games, and I just can't wait.
yeah. It was such a tease, like very not much at all. Like it just showed, but the art style, like even the little art that they showed for the cover, just looks really. Layton just has some really fun artwork, and
yeah, and I love the steampunkish style that it has, and that they're really leaning into it this game, it looks like. So I'm excited for that.
You know, I was thinking, I was thinking about you too, Katie, but like, cause we're a little different with the Catriel game. Like, I really liked that. I remember, I think you reviewed the 3DS game. You weren't as into it.
Yeah, I think I didn't give it as a good score, but I kind of feel bad looking back at that because it wasn't a terrible game. I certainly enjoyed myself, but I think it just changed up the whole Layton. Like it, I think there was like five areas that you kept returning to, and so I kept feeling like I was in a smaller game, even though like there was like five different mysteries plus an overarching mystery going on at the same time. So there was like a lot going on, but it just felt so small and kind of retreading a lot. And I think that's what ultimately like hurt it from my perspective.
Yeah, well, no, you weren't alone. It was, I think I probably liked it more than the majority. If I remember when I reviewed it, I think I might've been the high one, but yeah. So for people who didn't get into the Catriel game, you have to go back to like the early days of the 3DS, the last time you played Professor Layton. It was like 2014 maybe?
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like they've really just been kind of porting those games for a while. And I thought, Trev, I could be wrong, they had a guy that did a lot of their puzzles, I thought. And I thought he passed away.
Well, that sounds familiar, yeah.
But like, I could be getting that mixed up with Dr. Kawashima, brain training games, because I know, you know.
Was it not the same guy then?
I don't know. Yeah, there was a guy I thought for the Layton games that kind of consulted with them on puzzles, and he was like this puzzle master in Japan, and that was maybe one reason why they kind of went away from it. But so I don't know, like. But it is exciting to see it return. And I believe I did see a tweet, I think, from Level 5 or something, Trev, that, or maybe it was Nintendo, but they did confirm that it's Layton and Luke. That it's a new adventure with both of them, I believe.
Yeah, they didn't show Luke. They just showed Layton, of course.
But... Yeah, like in the trailer, it just showed... Layton, you know, he was kind of 3D, you know, type of thing, but I'm pretty sure it said Layton and Luke, but
yeah, it'd feel kind of weird if it was, yeah, makes sense. I think, yeah, welcome back, Professor Layton.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. It was the Layton series Twitter account. The newest entry in the Professor Layton series, Professor Layton and the New World of Steam, is in the works. A brand new adventure for Layton and Luke begins. So that's the official Layton Twitter account. So that's pretty exciting because Luke was an integral part of those stories too.
It'd be sad to see, we all just like Layton, but of course it'd be sad to not have Luke along with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke was, that's one thing I will say, Luke is probably a better sidekick than the dog was for Catriel there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't even think of his name, but
Yeah, and they never actually
I don't think they,
solved his
mystery. I don't
mystery.
Think they confirmed.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
So I was just saying that dog, they never actually solved what his mystery and why he could talk.
Oh, yeah.
But didn't have any
advice.
They never went back.
I remember thinking, like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, maybe they'll tease that at the end of Professor Layton in the New World of Steam. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah.
Did they not confirm a release for this year?
I don't think they
did. They just confirmed, like, coming.
At least the press release just says stay tuned for more details in the future. And I remember the trailer just said a new mystery is set to begin or something like that. But
no date, no year.
I don't think at all. But and it did seem it was a very early glimpse. Obviously, it, you know, just showed, you know, so maybe they're just announcing it and they're, you know, just recently started development. I don't know. But so excited about that.
Yeah. Oh, alrighty. For a 40-minute direct, I'm pretty sure we're already over 40 minutes, but we still have a couple games to talk about.
Yep.
They teased the next wave of Mario Kart a little bit. We saw a track and a character. What'd you guys think of Yoshi's Island?
It looks like a fun level. Admittedly, I didn't get to see a whole lot of it because we were still kind of geeking out about Layton. We were like, oh, whoa, oh, Mario Kart, oh, you know, but we were still kind of excited about talking about Layton and stuff. But I caught almost just the tail end of some of the gameplay footage they have of Yoshi's Island. But I guess they confirmed that's a whole new level, right? It is. It's not something for Mario Tour or anything else. So that's really exciting. Always nice to get more tracks, new tracks. So.
The mobile tracks, they're new to me.
Yeah.
But I'd still prefer something that's outright new. So.
Yeah, agreed. And they announced a new character. Birdo is...
Birdo.
So have they done any new characters with the other DLC packs? I don't think they have.
No, this is the first, I think.
Yeah, I think.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it makes kind of sense that Yoshi's Island would have Birdo because I feel like Birdo and Yoshi are like a...
Yeah.
Like a good... weren't they... I think they were like in Double Dash, they were like the teams like for,
yeah.
I don't know.
One of the tandems, yeah.
You know, dinosaur type...
I am
every time a new wave of Mario Kart comes out, I dive right back into it.
Yeah
we actually still need to get the 3 gold stars on that last pack. We haven't finished we gotta do that before the this new wave comes out. But so much fun. Mario Kart's amazing.
Yeah, it keeps on giving. I mean,
yes.
I'd love Mario Kart 9, but I mean, 8's so big at this point.
Yep.
All right. Last, but definitely not least, maybe most, you had some new information on Zelda.
Woohoo!
Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. What'd you guys think of what we saw? It wasn't just footage either. We saw like a new amiibo and collector's edition and
admittedly when I first saw the footage, I was excited. I'm like, yes, was hoping they would close with Zelda and give us something, because I knew if there's no Zelda footage in this direct, it may be getting delayed or, you know, something like, or they would have had to say, hey, we're going to do a Zelda direct or something, right? Like at least reassure us that the date is still fine and they're going to show more after, right? More soon, announce a date when we could hear about it. So I was glad to see it at least there. This was a fairly sizable trailer. This may be the longest trailer that we've gotten. Yeah, so that was really cool. There was a ton of gameplay, which was fantastic. You know, typical for some of the Zelda trailers we've seen in the past. But I don't know. It was a little. It did kind of get. It could give that indication that it's Breath of the Wild DLC, you know? And I know that, like, you know, a lot of people were, you know, jumping to conclusions, you know, like after this. I was like, oh man, this doesn't look that new. There's some cool new things in there, but what's the real unique thing? Like, it still feels like Nintendo's maybe holding something back with it a little bit. I don't know,
So
but
holding it close to the chest, not wanting to let it all out yet.
yeah, which I'm glad about, but I'm also simultaneously like again, I'm definitely gonna buy it, but like that's not a concern, but it just seems like they're not. With Breath of the Wild, they were really showing us a lot, and the world was really like the main selling point. And the world in this is like, okay, this is just more of the world that we kind of expect from Zelda's now, and you know, with some gameplay additions. But I don't know, like, you know, we're insatiable fans, but we you know,
Yeah.
it like, again, it's gonna be amazing, but I was hoping. I don't think it was not nearly as good as that January 2017 trailer, that last trailer that Breath of the Wild had before launch. That was just like
Oh yeah.
legendary. The music was
They raised the
fantastic.
bar too high.
Oh yeah, like that was just, you know, crazy. So yeah, I mean, they may still have a final trailer still to come, right? Like maybe in April or something, where they have kind of a final launch like trailer that's similar to that. But anyways, still very exciting. But I don't know. What do you think, Katie?
Well, I think yeah, it didn't show much, but at the same time, I think I didn't realize, but we're having like the whole sky area to explore,
Yeah.
plus things that are on the ground that are changed from the last game, and then it looks like we'll also be exploring underground in caves or something like that. So that's actually a lot of area to explore. So I think I didn't quite think about that. I was just like, oh, or am I retreading some here? But there's actually probably gonna be quite a bit to explore,
Yeah,
But
that's
yeah,
true.
I'm not sure about the vehicles. I guess that could be cool traversal, but I wonder if it's like also for transporting things, or I don't know. I'm still hesitant of like what that particularly brings to the gameplay.
Yeah.
It's kind of a like a weird looking vehicle. It was pretty big.
It did seem like cobbled together, which is kind of cool in the sense of like, are we going to be able to build our own? Like, is that one configuration that you make and you can kind of customize how it looks? You know what I mean? Like what sort of crafting ability is there going to be? And the other vehicles that they showed in there, they had that kind of car looking thing, but then they had like this
Drone-like
hover
thing.
drone that had like four little fan things on it, you know, that was going through the air.
Yeah, but did you notice that both those vehicles are like very large compared to like
Yes, yeah.
Link? If you're gonna have a car, you don't have to have that wide and that big for it to carry Link, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's maybe some transporting situation. Like, why would it be
Yeah.
that big if you can't put more onto it?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, like, are there going to be items that we can collect? Like, there's already quite a bit that you could collect or find in Breath of the Wild. Is there going to be more of that? How are you going to fuel these things? Is there going to be something you're collecting to fuel them or power them? That car thing even had headlights, Trev. I don't know if you noticed that in the trailer, but like, so it does even indicate, you know, nighttime or definitely like
Oh
cave
yeah,
or,
maybe
you know,
going to
going through
caves.
dark
Yeah. Well,
areas
you
with it.
needed the headlights because there were a lot of dark scenes, and I don't just mean dark
Yeah.
like with the Blood Moon, but
Ooh,
like
yeah.
it's dark. Like I remember watching it, like, man, I can't see like enough. Like, turn up the brightness. Like.
Like tonally, it's very dark, and even like art style, lighting, but even like we can assume maybe that's Ganondorf that's talking. Wouldn't you think, Trev?
Well, it's not Tingle, so.
Yeah. So and he was saying some dark stuff, right? He's like, you know, wipe out everybody, wipe out the whole kingdom and all this stuff. It's like, oh man, you know, this is, you know, which I think from the get-go, the first trailer we saw, you know, it's this is going to be a darker game, you know. It's anyways.
Oh yeah.
So
It's like you know, it's funny you're talking about how kind of has that similar look to the first game, and made me think of like Majora's Mask, which looks a lot like Ocarina of Time, but tonally is just so different. And like, is this the Majora's Mask of Breath of the Wild?
I could see that, and a lot of people would be like, hey, that's amazing, you know. A lot of people really like that, the differences, right? And I think that would be really, really cool. If it has some of those really unique changes to Hyrule, like Termina had, it was a very interesting world to explore. The one thing that I keep going back to, Trev, is they've been working on this game a very long time, right? Obviously you had, you know, COVID in amongst that, but this is basically coming out 6 years, 2 months after Breath of the Wild, right? That's a long time. And you know, I know we'll have the sky islands, I know we'll have the overworld, and it looks like we'll have underground areas. But part of me is still like, if the overworld, if that middle section of this stack of pancakes, right, of this world, if that middle pancake is basically largely the same Hyrule for the whole game, that's going to be a little disappointing to me. And that's where I don't think that's the case. I think that Nintendo is, you know, maybe they'll reintroduce that concept of the dark world that we see quite a bit through Zelda games, right? Where, you know, hey, you get a couple dungeons in, we kind of introduce the world a little bit. We're kind of reintroduced to Hyrule, maybe through the lens of the Sky Islands, so everything is feeling really new. And then something happens and the world gets transformed, right? So most of the stuff you're doing in the overworld is on this newly transformed Hyrule, that's this dark world, or you know, that it truly does feel like a whole new overworld, you know. So that's kind of my hope, because you know, again, if that middle pancake middle layer is largely the same, that is going to be a little disappointing, you know, because again, the mass of islands is nowhere near the world area of the overworld, you know. So you know, if we think that 20% of the land mass is up in the sky, you know, of what's on land, you know, that's where I could see people's critiques of like, is this just DLC? Is this just a really big expansion, you know, on the Breath of the Wild world? But and I know that's probably not the case. Again, they've worked a long time on this, but that's where I feel like they've got to be holding something back. They don't want to show us everything yet. And I mean, they didn't even show us Zelda's face in this, right? Like
That's
they've
true. Zelda was absent in this one.
she like
Well,
they
I
kind of
guess you
showed,
heard her voice.
yeah, you heard her voice, and I
And then
think
the very
you,
end scene where he's reaching for her, she's falling, but
yeah.
that's it.
But there was she was clothed in white or something at one point, I thought, but you couldn't see her head, like she was just, it
Yeah, there
seemed
was
like there was
someone
one
clothed in
little.
white. We couldn't
That's
confirm.
true. Yeah, maybe it isn't Zelda, but
But most likely Zelda.
yeah. Anyways, they're still keeping a lot close to their chest, which I simultaneously like, but also I'm like, ah, okay. Well, yeah. What's the big new stuff? Again, the world was the big new thing in Breath of the Wild, and so far from what we've seen, the new things they've shown of the world, yeah, I want to see a little bit more. But
I feel like a comic book guy in that Simpsons episode where they were spoofing the Avengers, and Bart saw the sequel before anyone, and it's like, don't tell me, and then he's like, no, I need to know, and I'm stop, I don't care anymore, but no, I'm so curious.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's exactly my
This gotta be a
feelings.
big game though.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
I forget where I heard it, but over 18 gigabytes for the cartridge. The original, I think, was around 13. That's a pretty significant jump, especially when you figure Nintendo's probably gotten even better at compression over the past, you know, 5, 6 years, but that's a big cart.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that is interesting. Yeah. Huh.
So, oh
Yeah.
man,
What did
he's
you
getting
think,
it.
Trev? Sorry, I was taking over that one, but
Oh, no, keep going. I want to hear more.
I think you're correct in assuming there's going to be it's more of a darker tone, like possibly a Majora's Mask, because they showed a lot of clips of enemies and there seemed to be a little bit more creepy looking. Like, they
Yeah.
had some really crazy horns on those
The
bokoblins,
bokoblins.
yeah, and there was a giant bokoblin or something, or a boss, I don't
Yes.
know, but it was like massive one.
Yep.
And what was that three-headed dragon on the
Oh
bridge?
yeah, did you notice that, Trev, in the shot? Do you remember in the very first Zelda game, the three-headed dragon boss in one of the dungeons, Gliok or whatever?
Yeah,
That
absolutely.
dragon was on, again, I don't know if they're going to call it the same thing, but a three-headed dragon that had flaming heads is on that bridge that they showed in this trailer, and I
I
was
wouldn't be
like,
surprised.
yeah. And they've done that before, like the Lynels, kind of reimagining some of these older Zelda enemies, in these modern games. There was something even in the trailer we might be getting. Do you remember the Re-Deads? They were the little zombies that,
Oh, the screamer things?
yeah, they like screamed at you in Ocarina of Time. They,
Yeah,
rah,
the caves.
and like you freeze and you can't move your character, and it was always really stressful. It looked like there's maybe a re-dead in the trailer too, with some of the bokoblins and things. But yeah, definitely, yeah, like you were saying, it's very, very dark.
A darker tone for sure, yeah, especially if, yeah, with the re-dead or the,
Oh yeah, re-dead is creepy.
those are very creepy.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, like, and it makes a lot of sense if there is going to be this whole kind of underground. I'm hopeful there's going to be some good dungeons, maybe some proper old school dungeons intermixed maybe in that
Yeah.
underworld area. But anyways, I'm excited just to see what other systems they've built into this game, right? Like, what other crafting things are they doing? Like, I'm really curious what they're doing with weapon durability this time. Like, is there potential for them
Yes.
to, take different elements now and like maybe strengthen, weapons as you go? Like, I would love it if you could do some more crafting and hardening of materials, right? Like, you could, maybe imbue some sword with certain materials in it, and it, increases the durability by 4 times or, whatever it is. But so I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't actually yet showed any of that, of like any cooking or crafting or.
That's right. They haven't showed cooking yet, which you hope something's gonna be in there, but
I mean, maybe
maybe.
they don't have it for this one, or they just didn't show it because it may have made it feel more of like a DLC
Yeah,
because they're
that's
like, oh, look, it's
true.
the same mechanics from the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
That's fair.
they do have to be careful of what they, yeah, because it's like, oh, this is okay. Like, maybe people expect that the stuff that I could do in Breath of the Wild, I can still do in Tears of the Kingdom. But there was also an interesting new weapon that Link had at one point. Trev, did you notice that in the trailer? It was like sort of a hammer thing, but it like launched a projectile out of it.
Yeah, looked like it's some like cannon off of a stick or something.
Yeah, it was basically like if you had a stick and something launching out of it, like a firework type thing. So it looks like there's some new weapon types. I think in a previous trailer we saw Link had it seemed like his arm was almost like a dragon's head, and it was breathing fire. Do you remember that?
Oh,
He had like a
yeah.
real interesting weapon. So maybe this arm can transform or get other augmentations to it. I don't know.
So yeah, maybe you're upgrading your arm.
Yeah, as you go.
Feel like they're really going into kind of the like a dystopian type of
Yeah.
a post-apocalyptic world, even in terms of like
Yeah.
just the look, like I don't know, like I wonder, in terms of time period, like do we even know, like when does this follow up the original, like
Yeah. Yeah, I think
maybe they're not showing like crafting with weapons because maybe now Link has the Master Sword. I don't know. Like,
Yeah.
that was kind of a divisive thing.
Right.
People didn't all like the weapon breakage, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we have seen the Master Sword in like a decayed state, right? They've shown it as like it's kind of acidically, melted away, right? Like in some of the, even in the logo, it's kind of
Rusted, yeah.
rusted
Yeah,
or
but
something.
well, isn't that from the original
Yeah,
Rust?
it's got like is it rusted or does it just have like growth on it? I thought it was like vines or something, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's like it's been corroded or corrupted or something. Like it literally looks like something has eaten away the sword, you know?
I gotta look closer.
Yeah, you can see it actually in the logo for Four Tears of the Kingdom. In the logo, it has basically this eaten away Master Sword, and then it has like almost a digital or that kind of tech filling in the rest of it. So I don't know
Oh, it
what's
looks like
going
it's kind
on.
of like. Oh
Yeah.
man, why'd you make me look close? Now I'm getting ideas.
It, anyways, like there's so many little nuances with it. It's exciting to honestly, we could do a whole podcast on just this, right, Trev? We could on just Tears of the Kingdom,
And
like,
we probably will.
and yeah, we probably should coming up here on the, maybe if we get a final trailer, launch trailer, or something like that, just talk about all the things and, yeah, I think it, like in the, I know in the first game, the Master Sword did have a similar thing where it was like dirty, right? It was like kind of
It was
nicked.
rusted
Yeah, it was
and
rusted and things like that.
scratched and
Whereas
disrepair.
this is like eaten away,
Yeah, but you're
you
right. That
know? It's
one's
like very,
fully like dipped in acid and
yeah. So it does just conjure up some darker things. Like, man, what sort of dark, magic or whatever is able to do this, right? To the master. And Master Sword was supposed to be, the sword of evil's bane, right? Like,
Yeah.
so what is capable of destroying it to that extent? But I don't know.
Evil has acid for blood.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So,
Like Alien.
yeah, exactly.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to quote Marge Simpson though, but those games cost up to and including $70.
Oof,
Yeah, that was kind of the will it, won't it? Like, oh, it's a
yeah.
placeholder price, but $69.99.
Yeah.
That's just for the standard edition, not the collector's edition,
Oh.
which is already sold out. But
Yeah.
yeah, anything you want to say on that?
Yeah, I was a bit bummed that they're going that route. But I was a little encouraged though. I believe Nintendo did issue a statement afterwards that said this is not indicative of a new normal pricing for $60 games. Like it's not, they're not saying like, hey, all games that were $60 on the Switch are now going to be, $70. They said they evaluate on a case-by-case basis, and my guess is, I mean, this game's been in development 6 years, so my guess is they felt, it was warranted to, maybe with all the content, like you said, Trev, 18 gigs, like maybe all those ideas. Remember, they had a ton of leftover ideas after they finished Breath of the Wild and even the expansion pass that they wanted, that really led to developing this game. So, maybe just all of the content that's going to be in this, they really felt like it was worth adding $10 to it. So, and I don't think many people are going to balk at the price. I think people that enjoyed Breath of the Wild be like, okay, yeah, like other companies have already broken that $70 barrier. Sony and Microsoft have done some games at that and other third parties. So, as long as this isn't the
Nintendo
new,
was breaking
yeah,
it in the 90s.
that's true. Yeah, I think it's good to have some perspective on it, right, Trev? Like if you look at games back in the 90s, adjusted for inflation, they were more expensive than modern games, even at the $70 price point. So,
It
anyway.
really upped inflation compared to any other like
Yeah.
medium for hobbies or anything.
Oh, yeah.
We've had it made really so.
Yeah. So I'm not too concerned about it. And again, it looks like it is like a one-off thing in this case for Zelda. I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo, depending on the development costs that went into making the game, in certain cases, they're like, hey, like for Metroid Prime 4, I wouldn't be surprised if that is 70, So, maybe in certain cases they feel like, hey, this was just a more expensive game to develop, and the content, is it justifies it. But anyways,
Yeah.
so what's your take on it, Trev? What do you think of the 70?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I mean, I didn't do it a lot, but as a kid, like, I remember buying Sonic and Knuckles for $70 back in 1994, with allowance money that I saved up. And, now I can get, like, a collection with that game and every other Sonic game for, like, $20. So, if you compare, like, if you went to, like, the cinema as a kid or any other hobby, inflation's taken its toll, and gaming really has not kept up with it. So I'd prefer, obviously, to spend 60 or, 50, even 40, but realistically, I'm okay with it. I'll save up and make sure I have it for lunch day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that just means I'll be trying to plan to work it into the budget, right? But I think that's another good thing that I keep in mind sometimes too, Trev, is like with the movie, that's what, 2, sometimes, 3 hours, depending if it's a really long movie, but that's 2, 3 hours of entertainment content, right? Where you look at a video game, I mean, that's, Breath of the Wild gave people 100, 200 hours worth of entertainment, right? So for $60 for Breath of the Wild, people are like, yeah, I would do that all the time. $60 for the amount of hours of enjoyment I got out of it. It's a, like you said, video games are, that's kind of a cheap medium at that point for the level of hours of entertainment that you're getting out of it versus other forms of entertainment, right? So if, if Tears of the Kingdom is, similar, breadth of content, then I think it'd be still easier to justify, paying $70 for a 200-hour game than, $50 for a 3-hour movie, right? For a couple
Oh
tickets,
yeah,
so.
and Zelda games, you're gonna replay them. I mean,
Oh yeah, yep.
excuse me. Yeah, man, we could just keep going, but I'm pretty sure we topped an hour a while ago. So, if you guys have any final thoughts on any game, I know there's a lot of games we didn't talk about, but there's only so much you can cover.
Yeah.
I
So
think.
yeah, final word, or you can just wrap it up if you want.
There was a ton in this direct. I would recommend people that haven't watched it, definitely check it out. Nintendo crammed a lot in 40 some minutes. So, to me, the future is still really bright on the Switch. There's a lot of great games. If for some reason people don't have a Switch, man, it's such a great time to get one, and get it with Tears of the Kingdom, pick up Breath of the Wild, Odyssey, all, Metroid Dread, the tons of games, and still a lot more on the horizon. So, it was exciting. Good to have. I think Nintendo set the tone really well for this first direct of the year, and I think it's going to be a fun one. So, next time we'll, again, this was a special kind of Nintendo Direct recap, but we'll still be continuing our series on some of the other Nintendo franchises we've been going through. So we'll see you next time, and then also next time for whenever their next direct happens. So take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.